You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
It's raining in Texas this morning. Joining me is the our guy in Texas, Mike Musselman. What's up, man?
Yeah, rain and cold. It got cold.
I saw 44 degrees. What's going on?
44, 41. Don't give us another 3 degrees. 44, I would be wearing a coat.
You're wearing a coat in your house, in your cavernous
house?
No.
When I was outside. I was outside already.
I was going to say, you might want to turn the heat on. You're making all that big military retirement money.
No, we don't. I don't like. So, whoa. Yeah, that's the big big rub in the wintertime is I don't like the heat up. I like wearing the sweater or the hoodie in the house. I like it chilly in the house.
It's only 40 degrees. Quit trying to cheat and give yourself another degree.
Yeah. That's what I said. It's 40 degrees.
You said 44. 41. I said, well, when I gave it, the temperature's falling, man. I gave the temperature at in the first hour, and it was 44 degrees with rain. Now you've got 40 degrees. Ooh.
Yeah. Let's see what WTF says.
It said the low for today was going to be 44. You're already below that. You're off the weather charts, man. What's going on?
I know.
Winds out of the northwest at 14. Humidity at 95%. The dew point is 39 something. I don't even know what dew point is. The barometric pressure is 30.34 and rising. Do you know what that means?
The barometric pressure?
Yeah, what does that mean?
That means that the pressure's rising.
The pressure's right in your barometric?
Yeah, in your barometric. So you better make sure your barrows are put away because...
And greased.
You don't want to get them all screwed up with some barometric on them.
Yeah, you got some barometric, and you got those things ungreased, and the next thing you know, something's exploding, and then your hot water heater doesn't work.
If you're out of some barrows this early in the season, then you're done.
Forget it. Everybody's rolling around in a hoodie in the inside Chateau Musselman?
No, I'm the only one inside Chateau Musselman.
So, do you turn the heat on when the girls come home?
No. I don't. I like it chilly, man. I like it chilly.
Hey, the night I was there, it was freezing, man.
I got blankets in here. You know that. You've seen them.
I was quite frozen.
If you're cold.
I froze my ass off, man.
Because, you can always get warmer, Mac.
You can. You know what? That's true.
Can't always get cool.
That's you know what? True that. Actually,
ask me who my screensaver is today. My wallpaper on my computer.
When I was at Mike's house, I was up. I think I was producing the show for the next day, and I was freezing my ass off. I'm sitting in the kitchen. He's got the air conditioner on, and he has fans circulating the cold air. And I'm like, I've got blankets on, a coat on. So anyway.
And we got our interior walls have foam insulation. So it's like living in a freaking Yeti cooler.
Igloo.
You just got to keep it cool.
Who's your wallpaper today?
Oh, you will never guess. It is Jackie Bradley Jr.
Yeah, how about that, man? The guy.
Did you believe that?
No, the guy can't hit water if he fell out of a boat and he
can't.
He's horrible. No, that's
he's the only man that can fall out of a boat into a lake and not even hit the water and come out dry.
Yeah, it's like
amazing. And then this guy parks it in the left corner in left field, and then God has something to do with there because the way the bus bounces along the foam padding all the way down is, the worst thing is is the outfielder, because you're going to look at that and that someone's going to make a meme about that because you're chasing a ball. It looks like you're chasing a chicken. You're like all over the place. It just looks like a buffoon.
Yeah, if you didn't see it, the go-ahead run is running around the bases and the ball is rolling down the top of a foam cushion against the wall. And the outfielder's like running in place and below it waiting for the ball to come off. And it rolls down this thing And I don't know if you calculated the probability that that could happen from a ball spinning that hits the green monster, bounces on the ground, and then hops up on this thing and rolls down. It would be infinitesimal. Infinitesimal. So.
But the thing is, the point is, and I know it's baseball, but you, when you're chasing a ball, don't look like a dork. Because, I mean, he's like, oh, I mean, it's just, it's sad.
Tough
it's so
to
bad for the guy.
It's tough to plan that, though. I mean, you're not really planning that. I mean, if you could plan it, you might be able to account for style points. But all of a sudden, it's, I mean, he was waiting for it to come down, and then it doesn't, and he's kind of running sideways. I will tell you what, a gigantic win for the Red Sox, because it did not look good for them going in. David Price, who didn't pitch that well, the Red Sox scored a bunch of runs. But
by the way, David, if you're listening, change your pitcher.
Wow.
Jesus, he looked like, looks like a mugshot with a Boston hat on.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He's not even looking, he's like looking up at the ceiling, like, David, here, look at me in the eyes. David.
That's his mugshot.
And do something with that beard. There's a thing.
There's a thing
when you,
in baseball. Beards, just long, nasty beards. Come on. Don't we have some grooming standards?
Right. That's the big thing. You know, hockey guys do the same thing.
I know. It's just, come on, man. Let's stop that.
Don't shave until the season's over.
Grooming. Let's have some grooming standards. The hockey players do it during the playoffs. But some of those guys now, like who? Guy Joe Thornton? I mean, they have these gigantor beards. They're just... Dude, they're disgusting looking.
They're stupid. Yeah, it's a distraction.
And then you got what ninth inning? The catcher came up. Gattis came up. He's got a gigantic beard. And then the relief pitcher for the Red Sox, he's got this goofy kind of leprechaun red beard. Not as good as Gattis's beard, but it's long. So it's everywhere. Grooming standards. Come on.
I'd like to see an umpire with like a ZZ Top beard fall in the face of the catcher.
They would not allow that. He'd take too much abuse. So the Red Sox win a huge game and go to Houston, tied 1-1.
You know, I was talking about, I forgot where I was at when the game was on. We were actually talking about it. And I said, these are the two best teams in baseball. You know, whoever wins this will be wins the World Series. So this is the one, this is the game to watch. Not so much the Dodgers.
We'll watch it.
Even though they're split too, though. They split.
Yeah, that's pretty close series. But clearly, Houston and the Red Sox, two best team in baseball. And I think, honestly, I mean, I think Houston's the best team in baseball. They're good, and they're starting pitching.
Oh, yeah. They're good.
Their starting pitching is pretty amazing. And their guy yesterday has been the best pitcher in baseball for the last month, and I think pitching in Fenway in the playoffs, big game for the first time. You know, you can say that, you know, these guys, well, you know, they've done this and they've done that. Everybody gets nervous, and he didn't pitch well. He got beat around by the Red Sox. So good game though. Good game to watch and
so
again,
this just in. Close this is down, half the press.
Close down to the end. James Mattis is a Democrat.
Okay, so this is just off the press, everybody that's tracking this. I got this before the newsroom, the AP press, I guarantee you.
Got it. All right, what is it?
It's a press release. The Granbury Marine Corps Junior ROTC defeats Arlington Fairfax in the shooting match. Wasn't even close.
Already this morning or when?
That's this weekend. 1,554 to 1,526 in the National Air Rifle League. Their third row in a win. With this win, Granbury Marine Corps Junior ROTC is in second place and first place within the conference. They currently have a 3-0 record.
That's a conference. Let us know when they get to state. That way we'll find out if they qualify.
No. They're not in state anymore. They're in nationals. Arlington is in Virginia.
Oh. So this is
not Arlington, Texas.
This is the national competition already. Wow.
Yeah, they've been beating there's not a team in Texas that could stand, you know. Now they go from here, and the next one is they compete against Fountain Fort Carson, from Fort Carson. This is an Army junior ROTC. Kick their ass, boys. Army Eric. Come on. This is the Orion National Air Rifle League Championship sponsored by Orion Scoring System. The league is a national team league for high school teams and junior rifle clubs. Champion division is the most difficult division in the conference. The league has two parts, an eight-week regular season followed by a single elimination tournament. The top eight teams will compete for the league championship.
Here's an email. Gunner doesn't turn his heat on, but when his better half comes home, I'm sure he will.
The better half is sitting here talking to you.
That guffaw was entirely merited by the absurd nature of your comment. Here's another one. Do you know what man spreading is?
It's not one of those gross things we're going to talk about, is it?
No. It's men spreading their legs. And some
people. Well, we're not even going to talk.
Some people don't like it.
I don't like it.
You don't like what?
I don't even like the word.
Man spreading? You mean like when men spread their legs? Like, so you're riding on the subway and you sit down and your knees are apart? You don't like that? Your knees need to be together?
Well, yeah. First of all, I don't even believe we're talking. They actually put this word out there.
What's an appropriate width for a man's knees to be apart when he sits?
Well, I mean, mine are always like equal distance. They're not like open up. They're like equal. They're parallel lines.
Your thighs are parallel. How many inches apart are your knees?
I'll measure right now. Actually, they are less than a fist. My fist can't even like.
Really? That close? Okay, so me sitting here, my kneecaps would be 8 inches apart.
But I have proper. I sit proper. You don't.
You sit with the fist between your legs? Yeah, I don't sit like that. So.
Well, no. I sit with my legs extended, and then I cross my legs.
At where? The knee? At the ankle?
At the ankle. Like right now, that's where I sit. I sit with my legs extended out, kind of not completely bent, but like maybe. Let's see, that's 15 degrees. And then my ankles are crossed. That's the most comfortable. Or if I'm sitting, I bring my foot up.
How about couch sitting?
Foot up on my knee.
Couch sitting's different. So you're sitting on your couch.
That makes people uncomfortable.
What? Hello?
If I'm sitting on the couch, yeah, I got my ankles crossed.
Okay. When you cross your ankles, your knees have to move outward.
No, they're like touching, man.
Your kneecaps are touching and your ankles are crossed?
Dude.
You're a woman. You're a woman. I always knew it. I always knew.
I'm taking a photo.
The first time I laid eyes on you, I knew there's something about you. Okay, here's a trivia question for you. Why did the Brits invent time zones?
Why are we talking about Brits?
Because you love the Brits. You love the royal family. You served in Britain. You like things British. You sold your Camaro to a British guy for a lot of money. So why did the Brits create time zones in the 19th century?
Did it have to do something with markets and season and harvesting?
No. Two down, Arlene.
What are you talking about?
That's a game show. I used to say that.
I have no idea that.
Trains and commerce. Trains running
business. Well, that's what I was talking about.
Oh, here we go.
You said no. I said bring things to market.
You said harvest.
Commerce.
Specifically, you said harvest. And no, the answer isn't harvest.
That's the same thing. You're harvesting parts. You know, when
stop it. Stop it. Stay. Stop it. All right. Okay. So it's kind of interesting that because, like, who gives a shit if you're in London? Who cares what time it is? Is it in Prague? I can't get there for 7 days, so by the time I get there, it's like doesn't really matter to me what time it is. But
yeah,
all of a sudden we begin to be connected by trains, and the train's got to run on time, so we got to come to some kind of agreement about what time it is. Interesting.
We should have made – here's if Mike Musselman was the president of the United States
or the world.
1945.
Oh, really?
If he was.
1845 or 19?
1945, right after World War II.
Okay.
And it was Stalin, me, and Churchill.
Churchill.
Right?
Right.
And I would have looked at him closed doors. Hey, let's have an executive setting.
Hey, boys.
Everybody out.
Hey,
right?
Boys. You put out the cigar.
Yeah.
Fatso.
And I put it out. And I put over at Churchill and I said, hey, listen, here's what we're going to do. And you're not going to say no to this. So one of the other terms I'm going to have for you guys is you're losing GMT. That's now coming to New York. It's coming to us. You are not the central of time anymore. You're not where time starts. That's us. You lost it. It's now yours. Greenwich Mean Time. GMT, gone. It's now going to be called freaking AMT, America Time.
Could be GMT.
We're not going to. Oh, yeah, Greenwich, New York.
Granbury.
Greenwich Village.
Granbury.
Oh, I like that. Granbury Mean Time.
I'm minus two on GMT.
Yeah, you'd be in Bravo time zone.
I would. Am I a Bravo?
Or actually,
no, Yankee.
Go the other way. They went counterclockwise. They went against the sun.
I'm Yankee. So you'd be
Yankee. I'm uniform.
Yeah.
You're uniform right now.
Yeah. See, these are all things you learn when you have to do things on Zulu. It's called Zulu time.
Zulu time zone. Zulu.
Yeah.
Zulu time.
So. Yeah, I just thought it was kind of a little interesting bit of trivia that nothing caused anybody to have to synchronize times until trains and we could be connected.
Well, the reason why we do daylight saving was here is because of the harvest and stuff. You know, why we set our clocks forward and back and everything like that.
Yeah, farmers. Now,
farmers
say that they don't really need that anymore. They do their thing when they do their thing, but in a lot of rural places, kids go out to meet school buses, and so sunlight's important. So a lot of communities where you have arguments that say, yeah, we shouldn't do that, you know, there's a pretty decent
Buy your argument. Kid a freaking flashlight and a glow bell.
How about drive your kid to school? Why does the school district got to take your kid to school? Oh, that's right.
Why does the rest of the state have to?
Because we got to subsidize your decision to live out in Hicksville.
Right.
You decided to live there, so homeschool your kid and turn him into a dork. Oh, did I just say that?
Not all homeschool kids are dorks, by the way.
Yes, they are.
I just said that to be nice. You didn't say that.
They
both
are.
Know that they, yes, they're dorks. But
yes,
we didn't say that.
If you're standing
let's
there,
rewind that.
Yeah, if you're standing there.
Let's edit that.
Where'd you go to high school?
Not all homeschool kids are dorks.
Yes, they are.
No, I just. Anyway. Oh, hey, I forgot to tell you. So, all right. And a big shout out if they're listening, April and Angie.
April
and
Angie.
Tracy.
What's up? Girls.
Girls.
Oh, hey. This is shooting. Is this a shooting class update?
This is what happened. Okay, so check this out. Here's what happened. And you're going to be – put duct tape on your jaw right now.
All right.
Make sure, okay, that doesn't hit the floor. So Friday goes off. We get there, and we're going through this stuff, and it's great. I mean, they have great questions, great ladies, just fantastic time, and their minds are right. You know, they're thinking the right thoughts. And one of them,
you sound like President Trump. Great ladies.
Yeah, I know. Great. Everything's great.
Great healthcare. Unbelievable. It's going to be the best ever. Keep going.
Yeah. actually, I saw him today. That's probably what I'm talking about. Anyway. One of them, April, she's a little more hyper aware than most.
What does hyper aware mean? Explain.
Mean like always on the head is on the swivel constantly, like looking at everything. Okay, which isn't bad, but when you're you're getting too much information. Sometimes you're making, you know, you become very, people would say paranoid. And you're not. I mean, no, she's not.
What are you?
But she's very alert. Very alert.
But she's not
alert.
Paranoid. Does she talk a lot?
No.
She doesn't talk a lot.
But both of them are from California. Rancho Cucamonga. They grew up and then they decided to call it Quitsville.
We love California.
And they split California because they got sick of their shit in California and moved to Texas.
No, there you go. So now they can go live with all the Californians in Texas.
Now they're called Texans. Isn't that cool?
Not for long.
Well, you're not called a Californian that lives in Texas. You're just called Texan. That's how it works. So we're wrapping up the class. We're getting ready to leave. And, you know, it's probably about, 9:45, maybe 10 at night. And there's a noise at the door. No, not that big. Like an animal at first.
A what?
And like an animal noise. No, we don't. No, listen. This ain't 1920s radio. We don't need to do.
Okay. Is it a scratching noise or?
No, it's just like a noise. Like
kind of noise.
Just a noise. So she's like, and Angie hears it first. She's like, "Do you hear that noise?" And we're all listening. And I was like, I said, it's probably an animal. Because they live on the side of like a little stream bed, a little creek down there. Really nice.
Oh, how cute.
Yeah, really cute. Until it freaking rained and it was like a river. but. I hear, then it happens again. And then we go there, and there's a freaking guy, 5'9", about 27 years old, no shirt on, inebriated as hell, dirty-ass jeans and cowboy boots, trying to get in the house.
Your basic Texan, okay.
Your basic Texan. But trying to get in the house. And
wait,
so it's kind of like
wait
this,
a minute. This, the class is in a house?
Well, it was at Angie's house.
Oh, I thought it was at a place.
No, we had it at her house.
Oh, shit. So there's a dude trying to get in. So did she shoot him?
No. So we were just talking about this stuff, you know, like what to do.
Breathe, motherfucker. Boom, boom, boom. And you're like, whoa. That's not how we teach it in class. Anyway.
Well, you know, like I said, we just taught this stuff, and now it's happening. And the first thing I say is, I didn't suck
this up. Wait a minute. How is some dude, if she lives near a stream, how is some half-naked dude at her door?
That we'll never know. But nothing, like, it's just a neighborhood. It's off the street. It's pretty far back in there. I mean, that's a good haul.
Set up. It's a setup.
Yeah, it's a setup.
If that happened to you in Iraq, what would you say? Oh, it was just happened by coincidence?
This had to be coincidence.
Why?
Because I didn't set it up. She didn't set it up. The police didn't set it up. And old Steve, who showed up at our door, drunk, half out of the bag, he definitely didn't go, hey, I think there's a class going on. I'm going to go and give him a graduation exercise.
So nobody
So I tell him, call 911. 911. And let me go out the side of the – I go out the side of the house. I unlock the gate, I go around the front, and I confront Steve. The whole time, the 911 operators, don't let him go outside. He's outside. Oh, my gosh. Tell him to get back inside. And like, just tell him to shut up. So I walk up there, and I'm just doing the, you know, the casual, hey, buddy, what's going on? Is there something I can help you with? Are you hurt? You need medical attention, you know, we're just talking.
Right.
What's your name? And then he starts with the, you know, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I said, your name's Yes, Sir? He's like, yes, sir. And so your brother be what? No, sir? You know, and he'd get a kick, and I said, come here, Yes, Sir. Let's get away from the house, Yes, Sir. And then, you know, I'm talking to him as Yes, Sir the whole time. Finally, he realizes in his drunk state, like, this guy's calling me Yes, Sir. That's not my name. He goes, my name's Steve. And I'm like, oh, hey, Steve. So my big goal is to get him away from the house. I don't want him to cause any damage, and I don't want, you know, it just, it could be more of a situation if he tried to get in the house.
Yes.
Get him away from the house. Get him on the curb. And now I want him to sit him down because I don't want him to freaking fall and bash his head because, I mean, I have a big medical kit in my truck, but I don't want to go over there and I don't want to use it on this guy. And it's laid out and I want to get home. And I don't want to sit, you know, it's just like, come on, please, dude.
How far is the street from the house?
Oh, they live in a cul-de-sac.
So it's just down the driveway.
Yeah, just down the driveway, I get him on the curb.
Okay.
So I get him on the curb. you know, and I talked to him and wait for the police to show up.
Are you armed?
Yes, but my gun is actually in the truck now. But so the police show up. The first cop that shows up is like this 6'2" blonde cop.
German,
German, Norwegian, whatever.
Non-Texan type.
She puts him in handcuffs, detains him, pulls him aside. You know, I just give her the whole, I think his name is Steve, but I couldn't tell. I didn't pat him down or anything, so I don't know if he's got any weapons, but, you know, so then she turns and she starts, you know, hey man, you stay right there, don't move. And I'm like, what?
So she starts hitting on you?
Yeah, the wrong way. So,
God,
she's got this, you know, the whole mechanism going on. Well, make a long story short, Steve, if that's his name, gets wrapped up.
And you got arrested too.
No. And the ladies get to go home. They get to leave. But they were doing the same thing. Like, oh my God, I can't believe this is happening. And I'm like, yeah, I know. It's crazy. So then by the time I come back out again, there's like freaking six cops, dude. And
Slow night in Granbury?
Yeah, slow night in Fort Worth. And, so I'm talking to one of the cops. He gets my information. You know, I give him my license security permit by accident because they look the same. And I gave it to him, and I noticed as I gave it to him, it's the same one. I said, I do have a weapon, but it's not on me. It's locked in my truck. Right.
He's like, thanks, here we go.
I appreciate it. So we talk, and he goes, what were you – do you live here? And I said, no. He goes, do you know the person that lives here? I said, yeah, of course. I mean, why would I be in their house if I didn't know them, right? So then he goes – what were you doing here? And I said, well, that really doesn't matter, but. And so I told him, and he's like, well, that's freaking weird. That's cool. You know, then this happens at the end of the class? I said, yeah. So we're talking. I give my business card. We move on, and I'm getting ready to leave. And I come out, and I say, I can leave now, right? And the guy goes, yeah, okay, have a good night, man. And I said, okay. She turns around, 6'2", blonde. She goes, no, man, I told you not to go anywhere. I want you to have a conversation with you still. Like, what?
Now she's going to hit on you.
That's what I think.
Every time.
Like, hey,
every time.
Available. Yeah. So I said, I'm done. He's got my information. Well, she didn't like that, man. She shot me back a look, and she goes, I told you.
Stay right there. Did she mad dog you?
Yeah, oh, yeah. So, make a long story short, hey, I got friends everywhere. So, contacted a buddy of mine, let him know what was going on. And problem was fixed. You know, and the moral to that story is.
Wait a minute. What happened? So she's standing there. She's mad dogging you.
No, I left.
What?
Yeah, I left.
What do you mean you left?
I left. I got my truck and I went home.
I don't understand. At one second where she's telling you not to leave, she's mad dogging you, and then you just leave? That's not the way that works.
No, I said I contacted a buddy of mine.
So did you call him or text him?
I contacted a buddy of mine. Called him. And he resolved the issue right there.
So you called your boy and you said, hey, man, would you yoke up your Doberman here? And he's like, I got it. So he goes, one out of 12, stand down the code blue you have going on.
Right. But my point is, you know, and I teach this in the class, and, you know, and cops, the police get this stuff too, is not when the first step of escalation of force, you know, and most police officers have anywhere from 5 to 7 steps till they get to lethal force. Right. The first step is their presence. Them being there is the first continuum in deadly force. Because just the presence of authority, you in uniform there, that's it. Now, you got to control the situation, but if the situation's in control, there's no reason to be a dick and keep being a dick. Once you start, you keep doing that, you escalate people to the point where like, wait, listen here, man, I told you, no, don't talk to me like that. I'll talk to you anywhere, you know, all those things go. Because the one party doesn't realize, wait a second, I'm not the bad guy here.
Yeah, but you're not being cooperative.
I was being cooperative. I gave him everything I wanted.
What about her? Why was she irritated with you?
Because, I don't know. I never got to that point. But the point was, you know, when I'm not done with you. And I'm like, you've been here for 23 minutes, 20 minutes. This guy's in a police car. What? You're chatting up with another dude, another cop?
Oh,
talking about last Tuesday?
We got to play that card.
Whatever you have is time sensitive, time important, then talk to him. Don't play the, I'm authority, you stay in place until I'm ready for you. Hey, Bob, did you like that burger at Wendy's? You know, what? I'm leaving. So, yeah, that's the only negative of the night. But other than that, all the other guys handled themselves really professionally. They were great about it.
One of my family members is a cop. One of my extended family members is a cop in a city in northern California. Goes on a call. I want to say it's a probation check or something like that. And go in the house. And I want to say the dudes are looking for isn't there. Another dude there. Mm-hmm. And he's in bed. He's dressed, and he's in bed with a blanket over him. And they talk to the girl out in front. And I want to say they'd been a report of somebody had threatened somebody or something. So they're going to go do it. I guess cops do these things all the time, called probation checks. So they go down the hallway. There's bedroom to the left, bedroom to the right. They see him in the bedroom to the right. Don't know what's in the bedroom to the left. And he's got his hands hidden. Partner pulls his weapon. You know, hey, you know, put your hands where we can see him. Hey, man, get out of my bedroom. Leave me alone. Hey, put your hands where we can see him. You can see if you're a cop. This shit goes in a hurry, right? You just walk down the hallway on a probation check. Partner draws his weapon. He does not. And partner says, hey, man, show me your hands. And he says, no. So my relative jumps on the dude, and dude's got a sawed-off shotgun underneath the blanket. And he's on this guy, and the guy pulls the trigger. Shotgun gets discharged through his legs. And then it's an interesting discussion about what do we do wrong? How does it escalate? Didn't know it was in the other bedroom, you know, and this thing is all happening at once, you know, and, you know, him not being cooperative escalates. Him hiding his hands escalates. How many of those data points do you need before you get shot? And I'll tell you what, that's a scary world.
We're not talking about that. What we're
talking about. No, I agree with you. But
But my point is, so the argument that I always get into is, and I've had this, Mac, and you know, to people I know, and they say to me, well, you know, you don't know what it's like. Shut up. I do know what it's like. I've been in that situation. I didn't have a black uniform on with a badge. But I've been in that situation more than you will ever know, okay? And it's different. Yeah, my rules of engagement are different. But the situation is still the same, okay? So don't tell me because I don't wear a police uniform, I don't know what you're going through. I do. And I did it. And I did it. If you were to look at all the confrontations that you'll have in a 20-year career in a small little town, I still beat you.
As far as confrontation. I don't know.
But my other point
I don't
is
know
this.
That my
– Let me say
– Hold on. Let me just tell you this. I don't know that it's the same, though, because we don't live with the same repercussions they live with. And I think that's valid. And that, you know, we could shoot somebody that's on a cell phone and we could say, hey, no, he did this and our rules of engagement are this. And we could,
no, I'm not talking about shooting. I'm talking about escalating situations.
Yeah,
just
but I
your
I don't,
presence. Me standing in my uniform, my body armor, helmet, my M4, I'm the authority of guy in the figure. Or in the room. I don't need to sit there and keep being a dick to guys, you know, and treat these people like this. Show some empathy and work. Now, if you got that problem, guy, yoke his ass up. And I get it. We have different rules of engagement. But I'm not talking about a shooting again. I'm talking about every time that we had a confrontation thing.
Right.
Don't be a dick.
Right.
And so my question, when I explain it to him is this, and this is what I say to him. I said, listen to me. And they're like, well, you don't understand. You're not in that situation. Or, we deal with the 10% of society every day. Okay, here's my answer. Be a goddamn professional like you're supposed to be. And I got it. Yeah, you deal with the shit, but you know what? You chose this profession. It's like the trauma thing that we talk about. Oh, my back hurts. Oh, this sucks. Oh, that sucks. Guess what? Then quit. Go do something else. Be a school teacher. You chose this profession. You tried to maintain it. You chased after it. You got it. It's yours. Don't bitch anymore.
Own it.
Own it. Live with it. Don't tell me how hard drinking. Oh, it's hard to be a police officer. It's hard to be anybody today. It's hard to be a freaking postman.
Do you think that there should be? I don't know how long that you can be a police officer and not lose your mind.
No, I know guys that retire and they're, you know, my buddy Chris is getting ready to retire, probably about 5 years, and he's one of the most sensible, empathetical people that you'll ever meet, because he's not a dick. And my other buddy, Sean,
It's hard though. You meet a lot of cops, though, Mike. They see that and they deal with it every day, and especially if they stay in patrol units. If they get out and if they transition, become detectives and leaders and migrate through the force, then I think they have a chance to keep it in perspective. But if you're a patrol officer and you see that, those guys are jaded with a chip on their shoulder. I think there ought to be time limit. You can't do that for longer than X number of years.
Or you break it up. You do 6 years. Yeah. And then 2 years somewhere else.
Yeah, yeah, because
they call quota or something, a quota system. You got a quota.
You can't do that. If you do that too much of your life, it'll destroy. I think it destroys you as a human being. You just see.
Yeah, I agree.
You see too much shit.
Don't complain to me anymore. I don't like. It's the same thing with the trauma thing, and I've said that to a bunch of first responders, you know, at a conference one time. I said, I'm sick and tired of listening to you guys. Why? Who is this guy? Get out. And I'm like, you know what? Oh, my back hurts. Oh, I got shot in the leg. Oh, I see dead people. You're like, okay. You chose this profession. If you don't like it, do something different. Because your dead person, have you ever seen a small kitten come out of the head of living in the body of a torso of a person? Licking its paws because it just had another meal of a brainstem or whatever? No. We did. We lived right next to the guy. We thought it interesting. We named the cat. You know? But it didn't bother. And it's like, holy shit. Now we've seen everything. Up until the next hour. And then it's like, oh shit. Now we've seen everything. You know? And you see that every it's like 6 months. You're like, holy crap. Never thought I'd see that. There goes that one. Check and block. You know? I got it. It doesn't, you know? Oh, God, I live with these images in my life. Life's so horrible. Live with it. Live with it. What other choice you got? Or live with it. You know? Come on. And so that's what bugs me the most is when I hear people go, you don't know what it's like to walk in those shoes. Yeah, I do. I do. I mean, not as a police officer.
Wow, you sound like you're a little bothered by it.
What?
No,
like
the whole. No, you're a little bothered by it. Little.
It bothers me.
The whole de-escalation thing is. Do you know? Hold on, I can't remember his name. I'm drawing a blank. He did. Anyway, he's a martial arts guy. He helped in the writing of the MCMAP program.
Yeah,
His name's Jack O'Ban. Anyway, he advises police department. He advises the New Jersey Police Department, who had a horrible and it's kind of interesting if you do a search on it. De-escalation Newark Police Department. They and part of it was going in and casting yourself as we're guardians, we're protectors, right? You know, and so the first thing is first do no harm. And as opposed to kind of centurions, interventionists, combatants. And he said we started there, that we had to recast ourselves, how we thought of ourselves. And then the first thing you do is to de-escalate when you get there, the way you talk to people, the way you handle things, the way you are when you show up. And the results of the number of shootings and number of gun-related events that involve police officers dropped dramatically. So it's
right.
What you say has great validity in the real world in terms of how you get up. My point is, when you do that every day and you deal with those people, and really, who are you dealing with? You're dealing with the crazy people of a community and the criminals of a community, and of which there seem to be more crazy people every day. Because we don't institutionalize people anymore. So it's just interesting, this whole concept of de-escalation, community policing, how you do it. I just think it's really hard if you know police officers that have to go out and do it every day. The shit they deal with, you know, to include getting a shotgun shot between your legs, right, into a closet, could have been you. Could have been you. And you go home with that, and you think about it. And you go out and do it again, and you have another close call at some point. It affects you. So not easy. But again, our point consistently is, hey, unlike a lot of people that suffer trauma, we signed up for ours.
They did too.
Nobody gave it to us. We signed up for it. And if you didn't think it came with the badge, if you didn't think it came with the Eagle, Globe, and Anchor, then you somehow or other were misinformed.
Right.
Because it does. It does. Email. Hey, did you see that Senator Warren actually has 1% of herself is Native American? 6 to 10 generations ago? I did not see this.
1%?
1%. She is. She wants the president to pay up. Oh my God, this is awesome.
So we say.
Okay, hold on. Let me just frame this. This is in the Boston Globe. Headline: Elizabeth Warren releases results of DNA tests. How long has this controversy been going on? How many years? Okay, so if she was sure of what the results of this test were going to be, it wouldn't have taken 4 years for this to come out. Okay? So, to me, it's a little bit humorous in that if she knew this was a fact, she would have thrown this out there a long time ago when the whole Hiawatha thing, is it Hiawatha? No.
Yeah.
Got thrown out there. All right, here's the executive summary. We find strong evidence that a DNA sample of primarily European descent also contains Native American ancestry from an ancestor in the sample's pedigree 6 to 10 generations ago. Blah, blah, blah. I guess there was also evidence of African ancestry in the sample as well. So I wonder, Mike, do you have your DNA test?
Yeah.
What do you have? How many different strains of historical ancestry do you have in there that are 1%? Must be like hundreds of them. I would think.
No, not really. Not hundreds. I'm pulling it up right now again. What? I got to sign in.
Oh, that's right. They're monitoring you.
Yeah, they are.
6'2" blonde cop? I thought we were talking about a guy.
No, this is a blonde female.
Blonde female type.
Like Amazonian.
Amazonian female type. Dallas Fort Worth Police Department. You went to Fort Worth to give this class? You don't like Fort Worth. You don't like going those kind of places.
Yeah, I do.
What? Every time you go to Fort Worth, you bitch.
Well, this is – no, I wasn't actually in Fort Worth, you know. I was north of it. They call it – it's Fort Worth for, you know, mailing purposes, I guess, but
– it's rural Fort Worth? Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, it's outside of the city.
That guy know how lucky he is not to get blasted by
30. Well, there's no reason to shoot him. There's no reason to shoot him. Why do you shoot him?
We're in a self-defense class. Come on.
No, we're in a situational awareness class. It's different.
Damn it.
Yeah.
Right.
Add shit.
Oh, my God. You can't make that up, can you?
No. And, you know, like I said, why isn't this? What the hell is going on with this?
I don't know. They're tracking you. They know. They know. Mac, I want to hear what the gunner has to say about the president calling Mattis a Democrat. That's not good.
And you believe he said that?
He said it on 60 Minutes. Hello.
Well, what is the context? You said James Mattis is a Democrat.
He was asked about different people leaving the administration and the amount of turnover. People leave. You know, Nikki Haley, you know, she spent her time. She wanted to leave. Let's see. Hold on. Winds are gusting to 45 miles an hour in Southern California right now. And it's not a Santa Ana. Normally this would be accompanied with warm air, and it's not. So in the 40s this morning out in 29 Palms, where it can get cold, just so you know. Normally not this early. All right, have we got DNA results yet?
Yes. Okay, here we go. So we want ancestry composition. Okay, so here we go. Bam, bam, bam. Michael, 100%. European, so they wrap it all up. So like European, 79.4%. And then Native American, 14.7. And then there's like a 1.4% Arabian.
Arabian. I knew it.
We're all, this is what the birth of freaking civilization is.
What else are you 1% of?
Oh, 1%?
Yes.
A whole percent? That's it. No, I mean, not. That's it.
That's it?
It's broadly Native American, dispersed across three continents. Peoples of Northern Asia and Americas have deeply rooted genetic similarities. People across the Bering land bridge, blah, 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 blah. Okay, so I'm Native American from first populated 15,000 years ago, arrival of Native Americans from Northeast Asia.
When were you Native American?
So, yeah.
Does it say when? We think?
What?
That's like carbon dating.
15,000 years.
You were a Native American from 15,000 years ago?
Yeah. I'm an old Native American.
Oh, you're an old. You were in the wigwam a long time ago. Many moons.
So,
many moons.
Like, what I'm whole on is Northwestern Europe.
Yes.
That would be Scandinavian. What I'm completely whole on is 23.9%. German.
Yikes.
And then 15.3% Spanish from Spain, Iberian.
Iberian. Nice.
And then I'm 8.6% British and Irish.
Hello, that's good. We love that.
Saxon, Viking, and, you know. Then I'm, these are the, and then the small ones are, I'm like,
the British were not Vikings, okay? Where are you getting the Saxon Viking?
No, they were after they got conquered by them.
You could never win this discussion. Oh, my God.
Well, didn't they become Vikings?
Shut up. Keep going. We're talking about your ancestry, then I'm going to play some audio of the president.
And that's about it. I mean, those are the holes. So, like, okay. The big ones.
All right, listen to this.
Yeah, she's 1% 6 to 10 generations ago that she wasn't too sure of because she didn't run this thing, this DNA test. It's just too funny. All right, hold on.
Smooth running machine. And yet we keep hearing that the White House is in chaos.
It's wrong. It's so false. It's fake news. Now, did out of hundreds and hundreds of people, some I could have not picked, I'm changing things around, and I'm entitled to. I have people now on standby that will be phenomenal. They'll come into the administration. They'll be phenomenal.
Well, are people going to go?
Yeah, other people will go, sure.
There's so many people. You have kind of a record.
Look, I told you the story. We have a great, I think I have a great cabinet. There are some people that I'm not happy with. I have some people that I'm not thrilled with. And I have other people that I'm beyond thrilled
with. What are you doing?
Is he going to leave?
Can you hear that?
No. I heard a part of it, and then I don't hear anything.
Well, I don't know. He hasn't told me that. I have a very good relationship with him. I had lunch with him 2 days ago. I have a very good relationship with him. It could be that he is. I think he's sort of a Democrat, if you want to know the truth. But General Mattis is a good guy. We get along very well. He may leave. I mean, at some point, everybody leaves.
Too quiet, man. Can't be quiet on the radio. You told me that.
That's Washington.
It's not. It's playing. It was playing. So he gets asked about the turnover. And he says there's some people that he's happy with, some people he's okay with, some people he's thrilled with. You know, we keep hearing Secretary Mattis is going to leave. Is he going to leave? I don't know. I just had lunch with him 2 days ago. I get along great with him. tell you the truth, I think he's kind of a Democrat. So you make anything out of that? The president doesn't exactly like Democrats. Didn't have to say that. What do you make of that?
Of it at all.
You don't make anything of it at all?
No.
Okay. All right, there you go. There's your answer. All right, yeah. What else are you going to do today now that it's cold?
You know, I don't know. It is chilly out, man. I had some things that, I'm going to go lunch with Ron and Ralph in about 28 minutes.
Where are you guys going?
Randy's.
Randy's? What do you normally get at Randy's?
I used to get a burger. They got good burgers.
41 degrees in Granbury right now. Feels like 33 though. Yeah, so you got the wind chill thing going. So it's cold, man.
Oh yeah.
It's cold in Granbury today.
It's nice though.
If you like that kind of weather. For the rest of the week, tomorrow 47 degrees with rain, and on Wednesday 57 with rain, low overnights 44 and 45. So you're going to have like pretty steady state. In the low 40s.
Yeah. I want to go coyote hunting.
Why? Any reason?
Yeah, because I like shooting coyotes.
Why?
Because it's fun. Have you ever shot a coyote?
No comment.
Okay. They're fun. It's fun. You know, and they're varmints. And the world needs less varmints.
Predators. Coyotes. They have it.
Yes.
That's the way it works. All right, man. Have a good day.
I can't go, for human performance.
Right. Red Sox have a day off, so big game tomorrow down in Houston. How do you cope during those games? Are you okay? Do you sit there and watch? Do you get fired up, or do you get emotional? Do you yell at the TV? What happens?
Yeah, I do get a little spun up. I mean, I find myself like doing the, you know, standing up and walk.
Were you okay when Kimbrel was getting kind of hit around a little bit in the ninth inning last night?
No, because it was, you know, they scored that last run in the top of the ninth. And I'm thinking to myself, God, you can't do this.
It's the third straight time he's done it, too.
Oh, I know.
Oh, my God. He needs to shave the beard. He needs to do something different, man. Because he's normally lights out. The last three times, though, he's gone out there. He's made it a little bit interesting. But he's got the job done every time. So, anyway. All right. Well, look, have a good day. Tell the boys I said hi.
I will. I'll talk to you later.
There you have it. The one and only Michael Musselman, otherwise known as The Gunner. another email. Could you go over the parenting advice that you gave in the first hour? I got interrupted and I didn't hear it all. Well, you can hear it most shortly. But yeah, I'll go over it. All right, so F-18 guy. He had a, his daughter was going to go do something. And she's a... I'll characterize it by saying this. For her first car, she wants a motorcycle. Okay? She's that girl. Anyway. So she's got a little bit of spirit. So he called me and said, you know, she wants to go here with a bunch of friends, and the parents called us and said they're not going to be in town. They're not going to be around until late. They're going to a concert or something, blah, blah, blah. Just wanted us to know. So, you know, so he said, so I'm going to sit her down and tell her what we expect. And I said, don't do that. He said, what do you mean? And I said, look, she's been raised in your house, right? Her whole life. Yes? He said, yeah. I said, do you don't think that she could probably give that talk that you're going to give to her? She got it memorized. She knows the rules. Okay. So, don't make it any worse. Tell her to have a good time. Tell her you love her. Tell her to. See you in the morning. And then deal with it as it happens. Give her a chance to surprise you. And if she does well, then good. But you know at some point, right, it's going to happen. And you deal with it then. But I think parenting teenagers is different. And if you don't do it different, and I don't mean roll over by any stretch of the imagination. You know, there's rules and you have expectations. But I think you have to adjust the way you parent. It's not like little kid parenting. It's different. So he called me. And he said he had mentioned that to a couple other kids, a couple other parents, and they said, oh, wow, that's awesome. I should, man, that's, yeah, I should do that. So he said, hey, you should talk about it this morning. So there you have it. So that's the advice. And I do think, what you're talking about is access to a young person. So a couple things help. It helps if you're fun. It helps if they'd like to hang out with you. Right? And then it helps that they notice that you're giving them more. I think that helps. I noticed it when my parents started treating me different. And I was a pretty good kid, and I tried to live up to their expectations. Now, what do you do with, you know, a kid who you're not as sure that they're not going to take it and run with it? Well, you're not going to browbeat them out of that, right? You're going to mentor them out of it, right? And what, to me, the way you do that is consequences. Actions have consequences. They've heard all the lectures. So now it has to do with, hey, you live in this house. These are the rules. If you don't follow them, these are the consequences. You know, if you want to move out after you turn 18 and graduate from high school, you know, there's the door. You can pay your own bills. You know, you can buy your own $1,000 iPhone. You can pay the bill of approximately $120 a month. You can pay for your car insurance. You can pay for your health insurance. You can pay for all that. Have at it. Life has consequences. You ready for that? What? Yeah, you ready for that? You can, yeah, you want to call your own shots? You want to do your own thing? We'll get out of your way. We should probably sit down, and I should prepare you for what you're going to have to pay every month. Right? You're going to have to pay rent. You're going to have health insurance. You're going to, your cell phone, gas, car insurance. Yeah, it's not cheap. So we should probably sit down and talk. So anyway, I'll leave that with you. On a Monday, All Marine Radio, over and out.